Okay, good morning, everybody. We are on Sukkah, Daf Chav Zayin today, and the shiur is sponsored every week by Yitz Weiss, accountant, as well as Bagel Munch, in honor of Jaime's daughter, granddaughter, and also today, Le'ilui Nishmas,
Aliza
Liza,
bat Shulamit Salma.
Shulamit,
Salma.
Selma.
Who was nifta last night?
Yeah,
Who is
nifteres
she?
last night.
Who is she?
My aunt.
Was the aunt. Okay, let's start with the Mishnah Chavav Beis. The Mishnah is a continuation of the previous Mishnah from a daf previous, which ends off by saying that you're allowed to eat ochlen v'shosim arai chutz. You can eat a snack outside of the sukkah. This Mishnah continues. Masa v'hevi'u lo l'Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. We're on Chavav Beis in the Mishnah. Once upon a time, they brought Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and Rabbi Gamliel were sitting together in a sukkah, it looks like, from this story. Historically, I guess, one or the other of them was the Nasi, probably not both, overlapping. And they brought Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai a little bit of food, lit'om, as a tafshil. They gave him a little bit of the tafshil to taste it. I don't know, he must have been that way, that he needed to taste it. And they brought Rabbi Gamliel shnei kosavos, a couple of dates. The delishal mayim and water. Now, none of this was all lechem, and this was, a relatively small amount of food. V'amru, and they said, "Ha'alum l'sukkah." Let's bring the food into the sukkah, which also implies they were not themselves already in the sukkah. So we're going to assume that, I don't know, maybe they were in the Beis Medrash, and there's a for some reason a p'tur during sukkahs. You're going to find out in a couple of dafim. And Chavches, when you get into the real heavy rules about what you're supposed to be doing on Sukkot and use of the Sukkah and everything, that really you're supposed to be spending a lot of time in the Sukkah, but you don't really find anybody actually doing it. So over here it says they said, "Oh, you want us to eat a little food? Let's go into the Sukkah." And but a different story, because Shanasna Larbi Tzadok. When a similar type of a thing happens with Tzadok, they brought him ochel, bread, which is, we're going to see it's bread. Pachos make a kibbeitza, a small amount of bread, less than a kibbeitza. Netala b'mapa, what did he do? He held it with a mapa, right, with a napkin, not with his hands, so he didn't wash. V'yachlo, and he just popped it in his mouth. Well, he said a bracha rishona, chutz l'tzoka v'lo birach acharav, but he didn't say a bracha achrona, even though it was more than a kezias of bread, and he didn't go into the sukkah. Okay, so the Gemara is going to work on these stories. Ma'aseh, the Gemara says, Ma'aseh l'stor. Hold on a minute. Isn't this story that we just quoted from Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and Rabbi Gamliel against the policy we just said in the previous line? Previous line meaning the previous Mishnah. Because what did it say? It said, Arai, for a snack, you don't have to go into the sukkah. And over here, we're being told the story was they brought it into the sukkah. The Gemara says, "Chisura Yeah, this is what the Mishnah is trying to communicate. Even though this Mishnah was trying to communicate another rule, even though you're not required to go into the sukkah to eat your snack, but still, if you want to be machmir, then that's okay. In other words, we're not going to discourage you from going into the sukkah to eat your snack, even though it's not mandatory. And it's not going to be treated as yuhara. See, that's funny. That's the objection that they could come up with. Why would they be discouraging you to go into the sukkah as yuhara? Yuhara means that means gaifa. It means it's like a misplaced a haughtiness. And that would be the reason not to be machmir and not to go into the sukkah for eating a snack, which you're not required to go into the sukkah. And now they quote as a support for this policy, Maisanami. And here are a couple of stories where they brought Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and Rabbi Gamliel, and we're not going to view them as arrogant as Baalei Gaiva for going into the sukkah. Okay, even though they were the Nasiim. And okay. So anyway, that's what it says. And we're supposed to generalize from that that also regular guys, regular people, also can be machmir and eat in the sukkah things that you're not required to eat in the sukkah. My sanami vehiviyola lemregafen mezakai letomas atashi lebregam liyal shnei kosavas lelisan mayim chavzayin amid aleph. Okay, so that was the support. That's the way the Gemara is understanding what the flow of the Mishnahs here are. When they give Rabbi Tzadok less than a kibetza of bread and natala b'makba v'yachlitz asoka v'labir ha'achrav. So that was the next line of the Mishnah. The Gemara is asking, well, wait a minute. The implication is clear from the way the story is told. The implication is very clear. That this is only because the food was under a kibetza. Ha kibetza, but if it were a kibetza size of bread, ba'i sukkah. He also would have required the sukkah, he would have gone out to the sukkah. So that's the way the story is being told. So now if that's true, then we're being told that once you're eating already a kibetza of bread, you have to eat that in the sukkah. Now a kibetza is not too much. So lema to heavy to yufta der of Yosef Abaye. Now, if you remember on the previous daf, last daf, the Gemara tried to quantify a little, maybe, at least to try to quantify that rule of achilas sarai, that you're allowed to eat achilas sarai outside of the sukkah. How much is that? And Abaye says, you know, kidatoim, barbe rave ayalakala. Okay, it's not exactly a quantity. But at least the implication is very clear here that a beitza would not be sufficient to mandate sukkah. So the Gemara is saying that the story with Rabbi Tzadok seems to prove that Abaye must be wrong. And once you already hit a beitza, you would be required to eat in the sukkah, beitza of bread. The Gemara says, not necessarily. No, the Gemara says, not necessarily. Dilma pachas make a beitza and a tila o baracha lo boi. A kibetza boy, but if it's a kibetza's food, boy, netila ubracha. Meaning, there were actually three rules. There were actually three interesting policies of Rabbi Tzadok. We don't really hold like him in pretty much any of these. We don't like him at all. Rabbi Tzadok had, there were three things that he said. If it's less than a kibetza, you don't need netilas yadayim. That's at least the way Rashi understands. Then there's a whole question about why did he need the napkin in the first place? But we, one way or the other, you didn't need netilas yadayim. The second thing was that you don't need a bracha achrona, even though it's more than a kazayis, because it's less than a kibetza. And the third thing is that you don't have to eat it in a sukkah. So Gemara says, well, maybe the beitza was relevant only for the other two, the brachas-related rules, not the sukkah-related rule. And then maybe, according to anyway, by Rav Yosef, you would not have to eat in the sukkah, even more than a kibetza, unless it was a few kibetzin. We happen to not hold really like anything of Reb Tzadok. We hold that you do require bracha achrona once it's a kezayis. Right? Kezayis is that's the threshold for bracha achrona, not kibetza. We hold for an etilas yadayim, it's a sveket adina, whether a kezayis needs an etilas yadayim, but we hold kibetza does require netilas yadayim, although the Shulchan Aruch kind of recommends that you should already wash netilas yadayim even less than a kibetza, but no bracha. That's something people need to be aware of, that if you're just going to eat a little bit of bread, if it's less than a kibetza, you don't say the bracha on netilas yadayim when you wash. So even if you're going to wash on a kizais, you wouldn't say bracha on that. So if you're going to say bracha on it, then make sure you eat a kibetza of bread.
David, on that part, is it the totality of the meal, like people who, let's say, are gluten sensitive, for whatever reason, they just have a little bite just to be yotzei on the motzi, and then they have the regular meal on the stomach.
Right, you wouldn't trash Neil's Yadayim for that. I mean, you wouldn't say bracha on it if they're going to be eating less than a kibetza total of bread.
Even though the whole meal itself would be well beyond that.
Of other food.
Yeah.
Of other food, yeah, but you wouldn't say bracha on and then Tilas Yadayim over that, because he would need a kibetza of bread.
Okay.
In other words, all the other food doesn't require a Tilas Yadayim. The only reason you wash a Tilas Yadayim is because of the bread that requires a Tilas Yadayim. And if you're not eating kibetza's worth of that, so then it's all based on Tuma V'Tahara policies. So there's no Kabbalah's Tuma for less than a kibetza of bread. So you wouldn't have to wash. That's the way they say it. But we recommend washing anyway for pachas make kibetza. And Mishnah Berurah even likes the idea of pachas make kezayis. I don't know. And as far as sukkah goes, that is the rule. They describe a kibbutz of pas, you'd be required to eat it in a sukkah. Less than that, you're not required. Okay, I think that is everything. This giant tosis over here on the page runs through all of the rules of Bracha Achrona about Beria, because look, he was they were Kosavos there. And what did they give Rabbi Tzadok? Okay, anyway. Okay, so the Mishnah, we're moving on. Now, it's going to be interesting. This next whole daf that we're going to be doing is loaded with halacha, but almost none of it is accepted halacha l'maisa. So almost all of this is going to be not halacha l'maisa, even though it's all big halachic discussions. Also interesting, it's all about Rabbi Eliezer. These are all going to be, Rabbi Eliezer dominates the daf. Rabbi Eliezer, also known as Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol, Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, we generally don't paskin like Rabbi Eliezer. That's just how it goes. Rabbi Eliezer is a Shemuti. We learned that when we learned Beitza. Now, we rarely follow Rabbi Eliezer's Shitos. He's most famous to us, obviously, from the story of Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua's Machlokas, but the Tanish Alachnai, where Rabbi Eliezer invoked these heavenly, miraculous supports for his argument, and he was thrown out of the Beis Medrash and put into Nidui. And so in any case, Rabbi Eliezer here on his daf has the following, and has a number of Shitos, about five Shitos regarding sukkahs that we're not going to hold like. Rabbi Eliezer Amer. Rabbi Eliezer, the Mishnah says, Arba Esrei Seudos Chayiv Adam Le'echol B'Sukkah Achas B'Yom Achas B'Layla. Rabbi Eliezer holds that you're required to eat 14 Seudos over the course of Chag HaSukkos, one daytime Seuda and one nighttime Seuda. V'Chachamim Amrim Ein L'Davar Kitzvah. And the Chachamim say there is no such policy, there's no requirement that you specifically make sure to eat a su'uda per day at least in the sukkah, every day of sukkahs. Chutz me'leila yantav arishon shel chag bilvad, except the first night of sukkahs, that's different, that's mandatory. The Gemara is going to explain it. The Yod, Amar Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer also has a following policy. Mishalo achal leila yomtav arishon, if you did not eat that first night of sukkahs, Yashlim Leila Yantif Acharon Shel Chag. You can make it up on Leil Shemini Atzeres. The Chachamim Amrim, the Chachamim say, what are you talking about? In the Endeavor Tashlumen, you can't make up a missed Tzu'uda. V'yalzen Emar, Me'uvas Lo Yuchal Liskon, V'chesron Lo Yuchal Lehimanos. And about this, the Pasuk in Koheles says that some mistakes can't be fixed. The Gemara says, my time with Rabbi Eliezer. What's Rabbi Eliezer's Shita based on? Basuk says, Basukos teishvu shivas yamim. Kol hazrach miYisrael yeshu basukos. That is the main pasuk that is going to that you know has driven so far and is going to continue to drive all of the rules of sukkah. Basukos teishvu shivas yamim. Kol hazrach miYisrael yeshu basukos. So the pasuk says, teishvu ke'ein taduru. You have to live in the sukkah. Teishvu ke'ein taduru, the way you would live in your home. Madira, what do you know about your home? Achas b'yom v'achas b'layla. Avsukah, achas b'yom v'achas b'layla. So this is one of the standard things. One of the standard methods of making a drasha is that you take what's common or typical, and that becomes fixed as the policy for purposes of the drasha. As a simple example of this, is like the pasuk says, you go into the house, and typically, you walk in first with your right foot, so therefore the mezuzah must be put on the right side, and it's ma'akiv. So in other words, what is like a kind of a typical assumption is used as the basis for a drasha. So Rabbi Eliezer is saying, typically, I have a meal during the day, I have a meal at night. That's before it turned into three meals a day, but it was one meal in the day, one meal at night, and that's typical, therefore that becomes embedded into the halacha, that this drasha is requiring 14 meals throughout Sukkot. That's what it would be required. Basukos, teshvu, shivas yamim, you have to eat 14 meals. That's Rabbi Eliezer's shita v'rabbanan. Kedira, madira, yboi, yachli, boi, lo, echel, av sukanami, boi, yachli, boi, lo, echel, and nechachamim hold. No, I don't care what's typical, I care what's the rules, and there are no rules when you have to eat in your house, so there are no rules regarding the sukkah also. Mars ask, well, yachli, afila leila yantif arishanami. Well, then why do you require, the Mishnah says, the first night only? Why is the first night different? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yotzadak. Rabbi Yochanan, the Amor, explains, Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yotzadak. Might even read Tana. Ne'emar kan chamisha asar v'ne'emar chamisha asar b'chag ha-matzos. No, this is because the first night of Sukkot is a hekish, really a gzereshava between chamisha asar. One is chamisha asar of chodesh hashvi, one is chamisha asar of chodesh harishon, and malahalan leila harishon chova mikan ve'elich rishus. Afkan leila harishon chova mikan ve'elich rishus. Just like you're required to eat matzah on the first night of Pesach, so the Gzer Shava tells me I'm required to eat in the Sukkah the first night of Sukkos only. Gemara asks, Ayva Hasam Minalan, and how do you know that you're required to eat matzah on the first night of Pesach? Amar Kra be'erev, tochlu matzos, hakosiv kava'o chova. You see, this is obviously not the main point, the main source of this halacha, this discussion about eating matzah on Pesach. But we establish over here from the Pasuk Va'erev to Chul Matzos, at the Seder you have to eat Matzos. That serves as the basis for the Gzer Shava to on Sukkah, Slel Sukkah, you have to eat in the Sukkah on Laila Harishon. And all the Rishonim love to raise the question over here about how I shouldn't require a Pasuk. Automatically I know that I have to eat on that first night, because I have to make Kiddush and I have to have a Suda on Yontif. And so, automatically I know that I have to use the Sukkah. So what was added by having a Gzeir Shava here to tell me that I have to use the Sukkah on the first night of Sukkot? I was going to do that anyway. So that's something Rabbi Glasser has spoken about numerous times, about what was added by the fact that there is a drush over here that requires eating in the Sukkah on the first night, over and above the requirement simply to have a Suda on Leil Yontif. On the first night also, when automatically that means I'm going to do it in the Sukkah. All right, two dots. The Yodam Rabbi Eliezer. Now, the Mishnah, I remember, told me a second rule of Rabbi Eliezer's, which is, oddly enough, that if you didn't eat your suud on the first night, it's like you make it up on Shemini Atzeres. Where does that come from? So, V'hama Rabbi Eliezer, the Gemara asks, is something wrong? Rabbi Eliezer said you have to eat two meals every single day. And so what was he getting at when he said if you didn't eat the first Suda, how is he suddenly skipping over all the 14 Suudos and now going to Shmini Yetzeres? V'ham Rabbi Eliezer, Arba Esrei Suudos Chayivadim Le'achol B'Sukkah, Achas B'Yom Achas B'Layla. So the Gemara is seeing this as being kind of inconsistent or incompatible. Am Rabbi Ami, these Amoraim are saying, that's true. This is incompatible with the first name of Rabbi Eliezer, and it's because Chazar bo Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Eliezer changed his mind. He changed his psak. That originally he said you have to eat 14 seudos in the sukkah, and now he's saying that you don't have to. Machlokas Rashi Tosfos over here, exactly how far was he chozer? You don't have to eat 14 seudos at all. You don't have to eat them in the sukkah. Rashi's understanding is that he gave into the chacham, he held like them. In other words, he gave up on his drasha of teishu kein tadur, that you're required to eat two sudas a day. So once you don't hold like that, so it's like the chachamim, you don't have to eat any sudas. So that's why the next mandatory suda that you're going to have is going to be on Shmini Atzeres. And even though you're not eating it in a sukkah, that's what's remarkable about it. Yet you didn't eat your suda on Leil Rishon of Sukkos, and you want to make it up. So you got to make it up on Shmini Atzeres, which you're also not eating in the Sukkah. All right. Anyway, the Gemara says, how could you make it up on Leil Shmini Atzeres? On Leil Shmini Atzeres, you're already eating the Suda. What are you going to do that's going to make it up? Gemara asks, Mashlim b'mai, Ilem b'rifta, Suda d'yome ko'achil. What are you going to say? You're going to have to eat another Suda of Lechem. I'm eating already a Suda of Lechem because of Shmini Atzeres. Elamai yashlim, yashlim b'mini targima. So what does he want you to do? He wants you to make it up using, I don't know, snacks, something else, some non-bread, non-meal foods. Mine Targima. See, that's interesting. You're eating a Seuda from Mine Targima. That's interesting that this is going to count. Mine Targima would count for purposes of a Seuda sometimes. Mine Targima is a little bit unclear what that is. It's either snacks, peiros maybe, or maybe it's something else. Might even be like pastas or something. But anyway, the point is that this is, we're considering Targima to be a Seuda. So this is where some people will be lenient when it comes to shel l'shittis, that instead of eating a full seuda, you would eat only mini targima. Tosus right away on the bottom of the page says, do not think that. That is absolutely wrong. That doesn't count. This doesn't carry over to shel l'shittis. Not at all. This is unique to... Okay. Anyway. Okay, so that's what it says. Now, a couple of interesting things. We're going to kind of test Rabbi Eliezer's shita, his requirement that you have to eat, you know, every day. You have to have a seuda every day because of Teshu Kenta Duru. So it's very interesting. We're going to try to probe the driving policy there by asking on these marginal cases. This is very interesting. Shal apotropos shel Agrippus HaMelech. It's Rabbi Eliezer. Agrippus is apotropos. Abatropos means the guy is the head of his household, was asking, you know, as a household minister, apparently he was Jewish, and he asks Rabbi Eliezer, Kigonani, what about somebody like me? She'eini ragil echol elasuda achas biyom. I only eat one meal a day. That's my routine. Ma'ushe ochal su'uda achas v'ipater. So would that mean that according to you, my requirement of sukkah is going to be one meal a day? Is that what would follow according to your shita? Makes sense. In other words, if it's really based on the way you are all ordinarily during the year, that's my routine. It should carry over into sukkahs. Amar lo. He says, so Rabbi Eliezer says back to him, well, come on. B'chol yom v'yom ata mamshich kama par paros l'chor atzmecha. Oh, come on, we all know that you take breaks and snack during the day. And so if you're going to eat not only one meal, but one meal plus snacks, plus, you know, you can take breaks and take snacks, so then can't you do that also lechvod konecha? Okay, exactly what the answer was, a little bit vague here. What do you mean, that you are required to, that you should, that it's not true that you only eat one meal a day, therefore it's just baloney to say that you should be exempt? But if it's true that you really did only eat one meal a day, maybe you wouldn't be exempt. It's a bit unclear.
Why didn't he say battle?
Right. That would be the other... His other policy ought to be, this is not about you as an individual. This is about people generally. That's the way many halachos are established, based on what people generally behave, not what you as an individual are doing. So, right. He didn't say that. And so, but maybe he was thinking that, and he was just trying to be politic when he's talking to Agrippus's, head of his house. So you can't tell.
That even not, I mean, if you don't pass on him, but that, you know, somebody says, you know what, I'm not going to eat because I don't want to go into the sukkah, or I don't want to spend the time doing it. I'll just have a yogurt, because whatever. Normally you have a sandwich. I'm only going to have a yogurt. Almost to do that.
That could be. But it didn't sound like that's what's going on. But maybe that's what's going on beneath the surface, is that... is that both of them are talking about what's your relationship to mitzvos generally, and there's some other kind, subtext. Okay, I don't know what to do with that, though. Okay, obviously, you know, it's not relevant lech lemaisa, so it's hard to know, you know, how to explore it. The Yod Shalo, and he also asked him another question. Kegonani, what about, let's say, somebody like me, sheyesh li shtei nashim, achas b'tveri v'achas b'tzipori? Okay, nothing necessarily, you know, underhanded about this. The guy has two households. One in Tveria. I have one family in Tveria, and I have one family in Tzipori. So I spend some of my time in one place, some of my time in the other place. The Yeshli Shtei Sukkos. And of course, I have a sukkos in both locations. Achas b'Tveria v'achas b'Tzipori. Moshe etzei misukkah l'sukkah v'yipater. Now, it's interesting. We wouldn't necessarily have thought, is there anything to ask even about this. He's just saying, well, you know, I spent some of my time here and some of my time over there. Is there anything wrong with that? We would have said, okay, obviously, what could be wrong with that? Great. Mm-hmm. We're going to discover that the one who's asking this knew something more about Rabbi Eliezer's shita, and we're going to find out. Amar lo. He said, lo, that's not okay. Shani omer, because my policy is, this is the third policy of Rabbi Eliezer's, Kol hayotze misukah l'sukah, batel mitzvasa shel rishona. If you leave the sukkah and go to a different sukkah, then you've erased the mitzvah of the first sukkah. What in the world is that all about? So let's find out. Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer Amer, the Raisa, of course, Rabbi Eliezer is saying the following, Amid Beis. Ein yotem isukah l'sukah. You can't switch sukkahs throughout the whole holiday. Ve'ein osin sukkah b'chol hashal moed. Neither can you build your sukkah for the first time during chol hamoed, because you need to have the sukkah up for the entire chag. It's related to the same policy. The Chachamim Amrim, the Chachamim say, we don't hold love either of these. Yotem isukah l'sukah ve'yosin sukkah b'chol hashal moed. We hold that there's nothing specific about this sukkah. You could use any sukkah. And you could go sukkah hopping. And if you don't happen to have a sukkah here, make one on Cholamoid. It doesn't have to be around from the start of Sukkos. The Shavin, but everybody would agree, Sheim Nachla, Shechozer Rabbana, B'chol HaShemoed. Everybody would agree, meaning Rabbi Eliezer would agree that if the sukkah was standing and then it fell, you could rebuild it, you could put it back up. That's not a new sukkah. That's just that's the same sukkah that you've just restored. My time with Rabbi Eliezer. What's Rabbi Eliezer's policies based on? Amar Kra, Pasuk says, Chagas Agustas Alecha, Shivas Yamim. The sukkah has to be Shivas Yamim. Asay sukkah ha-re'uya l'shiva. The sukkah has to be re'uya l'shiva. Now, re'uya l'shiva means different things. So this one is saying Rabbi Eliezer's understanding of it is like extreme. It has to be actually a sukkah, the sukkah that you use for the whole chag, every day. It has to be there for the whole time. You have to use it for the whole time. That's what's required. Verabanan, Rabbanan, Achikah Marachmana. No, that's not what the pasuk wants. There are others. The Rabbanan hold. In other words, they have to respond. They have to explain this. These psukim. What drasha are they making? Say sukkah bechag. Nothing. It just says you have to have a sukkah. Meaning you have to make the sukkah bechag, even if it's on a holiday itself. Okay. V'shaven she'im nafla she'choz rabbona usa b'chol Hashem. What pshita? So now the Gemara is trying to understand that line of the Braisa where it said that everybody agrees, meaning Rabbi Eliezer agrees that if it fell, you could rebuild it on Chol HaMoed. Pshita! Isn't that obvious? Maho deseyma hayach risihi ve'ena l'shiva. It's not so obvious, because according to Rabbi Eliezer, you never know what he could say. So maybe he would say that would not count, because you would ruin your mitzvah. Maybe this counts as a different sukkah. Hayach risihi, ve'ena l'shiva. So kamash melon, that even Rabbi Eliezer agrees. Tanya, we're going to see something else, a new braisa. Rabbi Eliezer amer, kishem she'en adam yotzi yidei chavasa v'yantav rishon shel chag belulavo shel chaveiro. Rabbi Eliezer says, just like on the first day of Sukkos, you also need your own lulav and esrog, your own dalet midim. Pick them up tonight or tomorrow. So just like it would not be yotze with somebody else's, you need your own lulav and esrog on the first day of Sukkos. Dechsiv elakachtem lachem b'yom rishon, like the pasuk says, lachem, yours. Doesn't mean yours, but I mean that's how that's the drasha. That's how it works. Yours, pri etc. kapos tamarim etc. So it has to be mishalachem. Kach enam yotzei dechavasa besukaso shel chaveiro. You're also not yotzei. This is Rabbi Eliezer speaking. You would not be yotzei your mitzvah sukkah in someone else's sukkah. It has to be your own sukkah. You have to own the sukkah. Dechsiv chag sukkas tase lecha, yours. Shivas yamim mishalcha. So all of this hangs together. This is Rabbi Eliezer. You have to own it. It has to be there the whole time. You have to use that the whole time also. All of it is all the same Rabbi Eliezer's view of what Sukkos is like. Even though they agree that for Lulav, you have to own it on the first day. But as far as the Sukkah goes, you're Yotzei with somebody else's. Dechsiv. How do you know? After all, it does say lechem. How do you know? Dechsiv, kol ha'ezrach b'Yisrael yeshvu basukos. All of the citizens have to live in Sukkos. Now, where do you see from that pasuk anything about how you could be yotzei with somebody else's? Melamed shekol Yisrael reuyim leishev b'sukkah achas. Notwithstanding the fact that we would have read the pasuk to me, and everybody has to live in Sukkos their own sukkos, possibly for all sukkos, but no, it's being understood as in a single sukkah, theoretically, the entire Klal Yisrael ought to be able to be yotzei their mitzvah. Somehow they're seeing it within the words of the pasuk over here that even a sukkah achas should be sufficient for all of Klal Yisrael. Yes, how does that prove anything? So maybe they all own it. No, but they would own it as a partnership. You can't have everybody owning it if it's only one thing. Somebody owns it. Maybe they all own a partnership in it. So that's a whole discussion. Whether when you have to own a thing, can you be a partner in the thing? So sometimes yes, sometimes no. Tosfos raises the whole discussion over here on the side about which mitzvos can you be yotzei with a shutfus and which mitzvos not, and whether or not according to Rabbi Eliezer, it's not relevant for us. According to Rabbi Eliezer, though, would a partnership be sufficient for purposes of this mitzvah? And presumably not necessarily. That's what Tosfos think. In any case, so this shows anyway, Rashi makes a different comment. Rashi says, if you imagine all of Klal Yisrael fitting in a single sukkah, and even if everybody is a partner, let's even imagine everybody's a partner, how much could they own? The whole sukkah could only cost a few bucks. I guess Rashi's imagining that. And there's a lot of people. And everybody's share would be so tiny as to count as almost nothing. And so even under a pruta, Rashi says. So Rashi, anyway, is saying that that's what the Gemara is proving. The Chachamim are saying to prove that you don't need to own the sukkah and you'd still be yotzei the mitzvah, and therefore you don't have to own it, and therefore that's not what the word lechem is telling me. So what are we seeing over here? Rabbi Eliezer says you have to own the sukkah, and Chachamim say you do not have to own the sukkah. You could be yotzei the sukkah, the mitzvah of sukkah, even with somebody else's sukkah. Then the Gemara starts trying to figure out the psukim. Rabbanan, hay lechem ay darshi bay. Well, if the Rabbanan don't require that you own it, but the Pasuk does say, sounds like it means it has to be yours. That is, after all, the way we're darshaning the Pasuk for Lulav and Esrog. So what did the Chachamim do with the word lecha? No, it's just telling me that if I steal the sukkah, you're not yotzei. So it says, lecha lemute gezula. Aval she'ula, but if it's somebody else's and they're letting you use the sukkah, then that's fine. Ksiv kol ha'ezrach. That's what kol ha'ezrach is telling me, that you could have, you could use somebody else's sukkah, but not if you're stealing it without permission. So if you don't have permission, then not yotzei. If you're, but if you are getting permission, if you're allowed to, then you don't have to own it. And that is, of course, what we hold. There's all question over here. What did you steal? Did you steal the land? Did you steal the defanos? Did you steal the schach? Did you just use it without permission? Anyway, so that's what we hold. We hold that sukkah gezula is possible, sukkah she'ula is kosher. Against Rabbi Eliezer. All of these things. We're not holding Rabbi Eliezer in any of these things. So now the Gemara asks Rabbi Eliezer, Hai kol ha'ezrach ma'yavid lei? What does Rabbi Eliezer do with the pasuk kol ha'ezrach b'Yisrael? Which the Chachamim said implies that everybody can be yotzei in one sukkah, therefore you do not have to own it. Our answer is Rabbi Eliezer, mi boi le ger shen esgar bein tayim, ekat shen esgal bein tayim. Now Rabbi Eliezer says this: what do you do if you become chayiv in sukkah during sukkos? So are we viewing the 7-day package as an all or nothing 7-day package? So what if I only become chayiv on day two? Why? How did I become chayiv on day two? I become bar mitzvah on day two. I become Jewish on day two. So does it pay? So that's what it's saying over here. Kol ha'ezrach b'Yisrael, including these people who start their chiyuv during the middle of Sukkot, they have to pick up from here to the end with a sukkah. That's all it's telling me. It's telling me that chumrah. V'rabbanan. So how do the Rabbanan know that that's true? They don't have to explain anything. They don't have any reason that you would not be chayiv. So they don't need a pasuk to tell me that people who start their chiyuv in the middle of Sukkos are required to keep the mitzvah of sukkah. They don't have any reason why you wouldn't be, because after all, they just said earlier that you can start your sukkah, you can build your sukkah in the middle. So that's what you would do. It's only Rabbi Eliezer needed a pasuk to say that, notwithstanding the fact that your sukkah has to be in place from the beginning, But that's only for people who are chayiv from the beginning. Okay. Tan Rabbanan is a new braisa. Maisa Rabbi Eli, shehalach l'hak b'pnei Rabbi Eliezer Rabbo, b'lud, b'regel. Okay, so once upon a time, we tell the story of this Tana, Rabbi Eli, went to greet his Rabbi, Rabbi Eliezer, this is Rabbi Eliezer we're talking about, in Lud, b'regel, during the regel. Amar lo, so Rabbi Eliezer sees him, and he says, Eloi, hey, Eloi, eincha meishov say a regel. Don't you know how to keep the regel? What are you doing here? Shahay Rabbi Eliezer Omer, because Rabbi Eliezer used to say, Mishabeyach ani yaso atzlanim, I praise the lazy people who don't get out of their house. She'en yotzim yibateyem beregel. I admire the lazy people who stay home all regel long and they don't get out of their house. Dechsev, like the Pasuk says, v'samachta ata uveisacha. Like the Pasuk says that on the Chag, you're supposed to enjoy the Chag, v'samachta ata uveisacha. We take the word beisacha to mean your family, your wife, your family, but he's taking it like literally to mean your house. So stay in your house. Now it's funny, I mean, he obviously must have been living after the Churban, we know. He was living after the Churban. So during the Mikdash, you can't pull this off. You're going to have to do Aliyah L'Regel. But he's saying, presumably, that when there's no mitzvah Aliyah L'Regel, so then stay home. Amy, wait a minute. How could that possibly be that Rabbi Eliezer says that you're supposed to stay home all Yantif long, or all Chag long? Amy, v'ho'ama Rabbi Yitzchak, minayin she'chayiv adam l'hakbil p'nei rabba b'regel. Hold on, but we know that there is a mitzvah to go and greet your Rebbe b'regel. Where does that come from? Well, it comes from a pasuk in Navi that we all know. When Elisha was visiting the Isha HaShunamis, and she blessed the couple with a baby, and then the baby dies, and then she takes off after Elisha, and her husband doesn't know what's going on. So the husband calls after her, why are you going there? Maduat holecha say love hayom lo chodesh v'lo shabbas. It's not chodesh, Rosh Chodesh, and it's not shabbas, taken to mean regel. So you see that was common, typical, or appropriate to go and visit the Navi or visit the Rebbe on those days. This is something, some of the postgame actually encourage this kind of a thing also nowadays. It's that you should go visit the Rebbe and during the regal. That's why Rabbi Glasser sometimes has open sukkahs for all this. So how does Rabbi Eliezer discourage his Talmidim from doing this? The Gemara says, Lo kasha hadi azel v'yasi biyomei, hadi azel v'lo v'yasi biyomei. That's if you could make it as a quick trip. You go, you visit, you say hi, you hang out, shmooze, whatever, you come back home, and it's only a few hours. But if it's going to take more than a day, all the way over to Lud, wherever he was, I don't know, then that's not worth it. That's what the Gemara is saying for Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, Tan Rabban. Ma'isa b'Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, another story for Rabbi Eliezer. Sheshavas b'galil ho'elyon b'sukaso sheyochan b'Rabbi Eloi. So, once upon a time, Rabbi Eliezer was Shavas, meaning he spent Shabbos, b'Galil ha'Elyon, up north, b'Sukkaso shel Yochanan, b'Rabbi Eloi, b'Kesari, v'Yamrila b'Kesarion. I don't really know the different places. Somewhere up north. V'Higia, so this is now, Rabbi Eliezer had to travel, he was up north, and he was in Yochanan, b'Rabbi Eloi's sukkah, v'igia chama l'sukkah, and it started to get a little warm. Amar lo, so Yochanan Rabbi Eloi said to his guest Rabbi Eliezer, "Mahosh efros alei sadin. Maybe I should hang up the curtain. This is on Shabbos now." Amar lo, so he responded back. You know what's interesting? Ain't lecha kol shevet v'shevet mi Yisrael shelo ha'emid mi manu shofet. You know what's interesting? Every Shevet has had some Shofet representing that Shevet. Obviously, meaning that he was kind of duck the question and distract him and like pretend he wasn't hearing the question and he didn't answer. Now it's getting hotter. Higia chamela chatzi esoka. Now it's getting hotter. Amarlo. So again, he brings up the question. Mahosh efrosale sadin. Maybe I should hang up a curtain. Shade. Put some shade here. Amarlo. So Rabbi Eliezer's back to him. You know what's interesting? You know, every Shevet also has produced Nevi'im. Shevet Yehuda ben Yamin are different. Shemidu Melachim Alpi Nevi'im. Okay. I mean, obviously, this is not really where we're going to talk about what the relevance of these statements are, but clearly intending to distract him. Higia Chama Lemar Golosav Shel Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, now it's getting serious. Now the son is actually starting to get into the room there, and Rabbi Eliezer clearly must be suffering from this. So Natal Yochanan, so Yochanan stopped asking, and he just took action, and he took a sadin upiri salea, and he put the sadin up. Oh, question over here. This discussion about whether we're talking about a vertical or a horizontal draping. A shade that he is trying to put on. So, question is like, can you do this on Shabbos? Are you allowed to hang curtains on Shabbos?
When would vertical or horizontal the dimension matter?
Well, it's because we happen to hold that you could be mosif on an ohel arai. You can put a temporary structure in place. You can't build an ohel arai. You could be mosif onto an ohel arai, you could extend it higher side or whatever, but only vertically. You can't mosif an ohel arai. But is that true? We hold that you can extend. Oh no, it's not true. We hold that you can extend an ohel arai on. This is what we hold. We hold like this. You can make an ohel arai litzniusa ba'alma on Shabbos vertically, but you can be mosif on the ohel arai horizontally if you already have an ohel existing over there, if it's an ohel arai. That's the old question about opening up umbrellas and opening up canopies on strollers and awnings, and that on Shabbos, which you may or may not be allowed to do, depending on which type we're talking about and what already exists there before you stretch it, before you lengthen it. Wait, you're talking about a table umbrella or a portable umbrella?
I'm talking about a portable.
Portable umbrella you can't use, and there's no good reason why, and that's just the minig, and that's just how it goes.
I'm thinking like the strollers that you put
stroller there, one is right. That's the thing that you need to pay attention to that. But anyway, that's so he felt that he should be allowed. So Hifshiel Rabbi Eliezer Talisa Liachora Viyatza. So Rabbi Eliezer, he gets up and he walks out. Lom ipnei shefligo bedvarim, not because Rashi understands, not because he was kind of humiliated here or embarrassed or whatever for not saying the din, for not knowing the din. Elam ipnei shelo amar davar shelo shama mi pi rabbo. It's because even though he said he would have wanted to answer that you're not allowed to do this, he would have wanted to answer that, but he couldn't say that. Why not? Because he was bound by a personal policy that he did not ever say anything as a halachic ruling that he did not learn from his rebbeim straight. And therefore he did not.
Rabbi Eliezer.
So he did not ever say a ruling or anything that he did not learn personally from his Rebbe, as is, and therefore he couldn't say, you can't do this, and I hold that you're not allowed to be mosif on an ohel arai, but because he didn't hear that straight from his Rebbe. So how did he know it? He learned it, I don't know. Anyway, So that's why. Okay, that's what the story says. The Gemara asks, hey, wait a minute. There's something wrong with the whole story. What's his policy about sukkah anyway? You have to, according to Rabbi Eliezer, you have to stay in the same sukkah the whole time, the whole regel. So what are you doing? The Gemara asks, hey, chiyavet hachi, how did Rabbi Eliezer behave this way? V'hama Rabbi Eliezer, en yotzim yisukkah l'sukkah, v'sukkah l'sukkah. You can't leave sukkah. So I guess the question was either, like, why was he here for this Shabbos? How did he leave his sukkah that he started at the beginning of sukkahs? Or how did he leave the sukkah right now? One way or the other, it was asking, it should be something Rabbi Eliezer should have remained in the sukkah. The Gemara answers, who said this happened on sukkahs? It says they were hanging out in the person's sukkah, but it wasn't sukkahs. Regel acher havi. But it doesn't matter. This is against Rabbi Eliezer's other policy of staying home all regel. V'ha'amar Rabbi Eliezer, m'shabeach ani yasa atzlanim, she'en yotzim ibatehen beregel. So the Gemara is asking, but Rabbi Eliezer says you should stay home the whole regel and don't go anywhere. So why was he up there in the Galil for the Shabbos of the Chag? The Gemara says, who says it was Chag? Shabbos Evi. It was some random Shabbos. It was during the year. It had nothing to do with regel or Chag or anything. We just were distracted by the fact that this was happening in somebody's sukkah.
It wasn't Shabbos Chol HaMoed.
Apparently not. That's what we thought. But now we're being told. It had nothing to do with Chag at all. This was a Shabbos thing. All right. So now, you know what? Let's stop over here. That was the story. We have some more Rabbi Eliezer stories coming up over here. And then it turns into real halacha l'maaseh in the next episode.
Okay, shalom. Yeah.